Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast, your destination for all things lacrosse. I'm your host, Kyle Devitt. Alongside me, Mr. Jack Piattelli. Jack, how are we doing?
Doing well. Just made it on time today.
He walked in the door. I bombarded him with a bunch of Instagram posts and photos to get him ready. And we're here. We're doing the first podcast after I was lucky enough to coach my Hopkinton Hawks to the Division III state title as the assistant coach. Still doesn't feel right. Hey. Oh my God. Yeah. Big celebration.
You got your state championship.
I did. I wore it on purpose. I don't get to flex all that often. Usually I'm the one being flexed on this podcast. But hey, man, also won New Hampshire Division III assistant coach of the year. Put 7 kids on the all-state teams. Eight kids with an honorable mention.
Congratulations.
The podcast is not about that.
No.
we should bring in our guest, but you know, anything else that you want to say before we start?
Congratulations.
Amen.
Nice job.
Thanks.
Words of advice to help you out at all before the game?
It did. I got some great advice from you, from coach John Reba, and also Kyle Harrison, who gave me the best piece. I think our guest is Kevin Lavelle, but I think Kevin Lavelle would appreciate what he wrote me. I can't say it on air, but I think you'll agree with it because it took into account my kind of old days of being a critical analyst, shall we say, of the pro game. But let's bring in our guest, some adventures and former MLL great Kevin Lavelle. Thanks for coming on, man.
Of course, and congratulations. It's always a difficult road any season you're playing, and to get to the top is a big monumental achievement. So congrats to you.
Appreciate it. I think recently Jack and I know you from the Lake Placid tournament that we talk about consistently on this podcast. Pretty much every time we get a chance, we both love it so much. It has actually really impacted my life positively. I've met so many friends through there, had so much fun playing in the tournaments, and you and your dad running that with your entire group is really incredible.
Yeah, you know, we're going into our 34th year of the tournament, and I'm 41, so it's been obviously a huge chunk of my life. And it's exciting. I think at this point, you kind of get through the NCAAs and the college season, and summer season kicks off, and with about a month and a half stretch to the tournament, a lot of folks' minds start reminiscing those great experiences and looking forward to making new ones this year.
Kevin, we had 10 years together with Brian. That was a lot of fun back in the old days. That's how I got to know Kevin.
Yep.
We worked together at Brian and actually watched him play at UMass. Kevin grew up in Albany, New York, went to Albany Academy. What people don't know about Kevin Lavelle, he was a tremendous hockey player.
Yes, I did know that, actually.
Okay, and he could have gone on and played Division I hockey. I had the opportunity to see Kevin play high school hockey when he was Albany Academy because my brother Larry was the headmaster at Albany Academy. But Kevin's a great multi-sport athlete and one of the best gentlemen in the game. And it was a lot of fun working you back in the day, Kev, at Brian. And we still remain great friends.
Yeah, no, totally. It's, again, the way the sport has grown, it's enabled people to do different things in different ways for longer periods of time to connect to the sport. So, yeah, it was great to work with you and learn a lot about from the business of that side of the business from you, and have a lot of laughs and have good camaraderie with great people there and stay in touch with the game. And then, yeah, overlapping in the tournaments and kind of knowing your family forever with Larry as our headmaster at school and his great hockey pedigree and just great attitude and management of our school was super helpful for all of us growing up. And yeah, again, playing multiple sports is a key thing for anybody. Hockey, I probably played longer than I had played lacrosse from being a young kid through high school, just because lacrosse wasn't as accessible at the time. And I still play hockey today more so than I play lacrosse. So good interweaving sports. I think we'll see a lot of that overlap coming up in San Diego in the coming weeks with the hockey lacrosse overlap. And hopefully our Americans have done a good job of kind of figuring some of that type of thing out.
Now, Kevin, you have 3 boys. You got your hands full. My 3 sons, but you have them playing hockey and lacrosse, right? And they're doing all kinds of sports.
Yeah. Yep. We just finished a baseball season, which I've never really been a part of, but we had fun with that with my oldest Cooper, who's also playing lacrosse, and he'll be playing lacrosse in Lake Placid next week at our youth tournament. So my dad will be there watching his grandson play the same fields as he started the tournament 34 years ago. So we're looking forward to that. And my middleman, Jack, who was named sort of after you, Jack. I can't give you full credit. But
I appreciate that.
Athlete, he's just starting to dive in. So we've been trying to, my little guy who's 2.5, Tucker, he's really seems to be the full-on sports animal enthusiast out of the group already. So he's kind of pushing the other guys along. And so we've got a lot of fun times ahead. It's a bit crazy, but it's nice to see them hitting the lacrosse field and having fun with their friends.
Yeah. So Jack knows you from your time with Warrior and Brian. I know you from your time when in the MLL with the Cannons, the Chicago Machine, and then, of course, the Rattlers, where you concluded your career. I like Kevin because Kevin was one of the only guys that didn't outwardly show animosity towards me on the field. When I would cover games, he was always very nice to me. And I loved chronicling your career. When you left the Cannons, I think you weren't protected in that expansion. I threw a fit and I was like, what are you doing? It was one of my like huge rant pieces. I remember that. And the thing about Kevin that you guys haven't really touched on yet is, and I said this back then, I think it was like 06, and you made it true. I did not manifest it. You did all the work, but I believe that Kevin Lavelle is the greatest American finisher on attack ever. And I maintain that. I think there's a lot of guys that have come and tried to challenge that in recent years, especially with the PLL, but just the combination, if he's within 10 feet of the goal and he can see it, that ball's getting on frame. It doesn't go in every single time, but the way that you could contort your body and your body control, your stick control, to me was like, everyone talks about Canadians having that skill, right? That ability to finish and have that, the handles like that. But when you see it up close and in person, like Kevin wasn't sprinting up and down fields. He was in his spots and he knew what to do. And he was very cerebral, moving off ball, finishing inside from 10 yards anywhere. He had rope from pretty much anywhere. And he had weird shots. I don't know how you got some stuff off, but that was one of my favorite things is watching your career escalate. I felt like it escalated. I know the Chicago years weren't very fun for anybody. It was not a celebrated franchise in the history of the MLL, but for me, it was great to see you do well for your hometown team, the Rattlers, as well.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Going back to the first part, I thought the antagonist approach was pretty cool. And if anybody was taking themselves too seriously, that's probably a problem that they've got for themselves. It's a nice challenge in a lot of ways, keeps people honest. And I thought that was a lot of fun. So I would never have a problem with that because probably what you were saying was true about me when it wasn't positive even. So you got to be kind of an honest player to have success in a lot of ways. And again, if you're taking yourself too seriously, you're probably not having as much fun as you should be having. And so as far as the goal scoring, I mean, I played with some of the most unbelievable players to ever play the game. Connor Gill, Mark Millen, my brother, Ned Crotty, Jordan Wolf in recent years with Rochester. These guys would carry the ball, would take the punishment, would be able to do all that and then still find time to get a good pass up in the right spot for the most part. And I've said it forever that a lacrosse goal is pretty big goal in relativity to the ball and everything else. And it's a really hard game for the defense and goalies. I think when the offense is clicking and there's a continuity to what's going on, it's very difficult to play defense again. So yeah, using your head. I wasn't the biggest guy, the fastest guy, whatever, but I just tried to use my head to get to the right spots. And then again, if those high quality teammates weren't there, I'm probably not even on this podcast today. But so it's always been a team game for me. It's always been a lot of fun and provided a lot of enjoyment. And I think I was always just trying to get more and more of that out of it. So found my roles and just made sure that when I had my opportunities, I did the best I could to make the most of it for not only myself, but for everybody else. And fortunately, it worked out pretty well. It's also fun to see. I've seen a lot of the PLL this season, and it kind of seems like there's more of an emphasis on the off-ball stuff, on the crease stuff, on the inside man a little bit. And that wasn't much of a huge thing back in the day. I remember seeing a little bit of it with Birdie and kind of Maricek at Syracuse, but there wasn't too much of it. So it's nice to see that that's a bigger part of the game these days. I mean, what Ryder Garnsey is doing is insane, but it's a lot of these guys and they're just the skill level is so high now. So it's fun to be part of it. Hopefully kind of help perpetuate some of the off ball crease man position, and certainly very happy with how my career went and no regrets here other than not winning our final game in Rochester for a championship. So, but that's still okay.
Yeah. I remember that game. You actually told me on the field you were going to retire, and then you went, "Can you not tell anyone that?" And I was like, "Sure, man. Whatever you want to do, it's all good." Like it was cool. It was one of those things where like you trusted me with that, and then I upheld the trust, and I didn't tell anyone. And I was just sitting there, and I was like, "He can let him announce it." You know what I mean? I feel like there's this like weird culture in all sports right now where everyone's obsessed with breaking something and being like, "Look at." Some people will do it like, "Oh, it's so casual. I just broke this over breakfast." They'll do like a selfie of like, "Oh, just finished a nice mimosa, but wanted to tell you that this assistant coach is going here." It's like, who's that for? Do you like that? You consume media. You're a consumer of the art and the form. Do you like that happens, Jeff?
No.
Isn't it like, it feels so invasive to me. That people do that. And there's a lot of pressure to do that when you're in media. I'm in media. I can't believe I made a career out of this. It's still insane. But it's, how do you do that and keep your relationships? I think it's like the hardest part about being a reporter or a journalist. And it's like, some people just say stuff to say stuff. And it's wild.
Yeah, I would say more so now. I mean, that was just 10 years ago or so. And like, it's a lot different now. And I do recall saying that to you, and I knew that when I did say that to you, that you would hold up your end of the bargain there. And for me, it wasn't like, it was more of just like making sure that I could confirm that with myself between that moment and a couple of days down the road. But, and there was no purpose of me making a big deal out of it. It was just more of like, man, I just finished my last game most likely. And I kind of just had to tell some people before I could kind of think about it. Cause again, to be able to play at that high of a level for 11 years and when it wasn't even in existence in a lot of ways, when I was growing up, like I said, I just enjoyed every second of it. And it's hard to stop that train. And when you do, you certainly miss it for the next few years. And then I get out and get in the yard with my kids and I run around with them for 5 seconds and my feet feel like they're going to fall off and I can't walk for a day. So it's a hard thing because you never want to stop. But I feel like that was the right time for me. And I do appreciate you giving me a little space just to get the word out to my teammates and family and everybody else first.
Kev, are you heading out to San Diego for the World Games?
No, our schedule is on the summer is so busy with our events and things. So I won't be able to make it out there. I'm looking forward to watching from afar. And I know John's representing the Italian team, correct?
Yes.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, he's excited. It'll be a good experience for him.
Man. Yeah, especially on home soil in the U.S. here. I was lucky to be on the U.S. team in 2014 in Denver. So even representing another nation for John and obviously all the Americans, just playing on your home soil is pretty cool for that event as well. I went out to England in 2010 when my brother was on the team. And there's definitely a different perspective from when you're on home soil or not. And should be a great event. I mean, again, it's cool that it's in San Diego. Hopefully the weather's not too hot, but it should be a lot of great competition that I'm looking forward to following along with.
Not only were you on the team in 2014, but you were captain of Team USA, which is quite an honor.
Yeah, I would say that's probably one of my highest honors, most appreciated honors that I've been able to attain over my years. It was pretty cool because it was really kind of a player boat on the team. So I was the older guy for sure. I think I was 33 or so and definitely the old man on the team. But again, when you look at the people that were on the team and kind of having that position from them, certainly made it special and did everything I could to do the best for our squad there. Came up short, but was happy to see the revenge tour in 2018 and get that gold back.
Well, I give you a lot of credit because I thought you should have made the team, when was it, 2010 when your brother was on the team. And then you tried out 2006 as well, you tried out?
Yeah, I was a quote-unquote alternate those other times. It's so hard to put the team together with all the competition here. I mean, you could have three teams of different people almost. So what I'm proud about is just being in that arena in the first place each time around,
trying to push to make that team. It takes extra work off the field and outside of when you're playing, and it's an honor just to be around it. So it's funny that I made it when I was as old as I was. I don't know if I was better or not when I was younger. I thought I was better, but maybe I wasn't. So, I mean, I think things just kind of go where they go, and all of the experiences are puzzle pieces that you just kind of put together and kind of build off of, sort of like Legos. I'm dealing with those a lot these days, so I'm seeing a lot of similar there. But even down to our tournaments in the summer, I mean, our goal is to do is to just have a fun platform for people to play and build their game off of. Our events are not super intense as far as recruiting and just competition. I mean, it's competitive, but it's not over the top where just people are stressed out more than they need to be. So I think all of that from my growing up experience all kind of played a big part in my path. And it can lead to being the captain of the United States team and vying for a gold medal. It doesn't need to be too serious. I think for me, the key part of the game that was the consistent thing all the way through playing youth, all the way through college at UMass and MLL and USA, was just having a ton of fun. I would just simply get excited and really be into it.
It's funny because I had that opposite approach when I was coaching. And that's the thing that made me not want to coach anymore. It's like it was took too much. It was too intense. It was too out of control. And now what I've learned in the last 3 years coaching high school is like, that doesn't work for a lot of people. Right. I mean, we're at the field for the state championship last weekend, and we were just sitting there. It's not even a real locker room. It's just a room underneath the stadium, and everyone's sitting around, and we start playing. We have a speaker, and we just start playing a remix of the Mortal Kombat theme. And before I know it, all the kids are doing like fake punches and uppercuts and sweeping the leg. And I see one kid who's like super intense, and he's like freaking out. He stands up, he's walking around, and he's in the middle of the room. And I was like, hey man, what's up? And he's just like, And I took a step back and I did a high kick to his chest, just like did like a martial arts move, like a little toe tap to his chest guard. He's like, what the heck? What? I was like, hey man, you got to relax. Even I'm relaxing. That means you have to relax. Sure. Compared to everyone else, I was the intense guy, right? And I think that there's such unspoken value in that I never experienced until this year and last year a little bit. But it's having fun playing sports is the essence of sports, mm-hmm. right?
100%.
And I think it's just so impressive.
I was like, when I think back of my MLL time, like I'd be at practice on the night before and not wanting it to end. And then we'd have our walkthrough the next morning, and I wouldn't want to, I'd like, let's do two more. Let's do three more. Just stay out here for another 10 minutes. I just never wanted it to end. So even the practices and the walkthroughs were equally as important and fun as the games. And it was just about more time and just trying to keep it going.
Yeah, I think the fun of the game tends to be sort of fading at times, especially at the high school level where recruiting is getting in the way. That's what I see out there, and it's really unfortunate. I mean, when I was in high school, I don't remember talking about getting recruited or even really, you talked about college and wanting to take the next step in terms of your education, but I just played football, hockey, and lacrosse and had so much fun. And you're a perfect example of someone who had tremendous success, even in the rink, but you just had fun. And
yeah.
you got better because you were having fun. You didn't want to leave the field. You wanted to keep improving your skill sets because you loved it so much.
Yeah. And Kyle, I think Kyle mentioned it earlier, but I mean, I definitely do think that my game continued to get better from college level for the next 11 years in the pros. So I just think I kept improving and kept on it. And then again, playing other sports, and one of my line mates from youth hockey through high school was a Hobie Baker finalist at RPI. So, I mean, just surrounding yourself by other athletes is a huge thing as well. And again, playing hockey through high school, kind of knowing that I wanted to play lacrosse in college, allowed me to play hockey without a lot of worry and stress. So I just played a stress-free game in hockey
which certainly helped me to be a better hockey player because I wasn't worried about it or concerned about it or thinking about it. And yeah, for all the kids out there and parents, I mean, it is hard, no doubt about it. I mean, it's a challenging arena at the moment, but I think at the end of the day, the way I look at it is that the college coaches are intelligent. They're focused on this 365. They know what they need. They know who's out there. It doesn't matter to them what format they find someone in. So as long as the player is focusing on their craft as much as they can, again, it doesn't even matter what format they do that in. There will be people looking and they will be found in some way or another. And most of the time, I think those things will find each other and work out no matter what the path.
You know, the truth wins out with recruiting. I mean, as more as I get into covering it and seeing it and seeing the interactions, I like to do this thing we talked about in the last podcast we did, where I just like walk over to groups of people and just kind of listen to what they're talking about on the sidelines, especially either in the game or out of game, whatever. And I was at a prep event last week and I just did that and walked around and sat around. I sat with parents. Kids were talking and on the field and off the field. And I learned a lot. I'll tell you that right now. I learned a lot about who was going where and which coaches were watching who as I was there. And your behavior is, if you're a player and you're a parent, your behavior is monitored at all times. Like that's part of the process. I mean, we say that a lot, but I feel like people don't believe us. It is a huge part of what you're doing. Good families create good players and become part of the family of the school they're going to. And I think that's something to really, really look at. And one of the things I love about Placid is the Scholastic tournament takes place in the dead period. So people are coming to play for fun. And you'll also get a little hot goss when you're there. You'll see everybody at Placid. They're not working. They're there to play. They're there to hang out. They're there to go to the breweries and hang out with their friends and see their college teammates from the past 20 years. That's how like ingrained the culture is in playing the sport and coaching the sport as well. And one of the great things about the Scholastic tournament that you guys have, and the reason that I go every year now, is because I like to see kids play when they don't think there's any real pressure on them, because there kind of isn't. I'm certainly not pressure. I'm just there to say if you do well.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, and again, I think it elevates their game in a different way that they're not even aware of. Maybe at the time they just don't have to go out there with a lot of pressure and a lot of people looking at them and expecting something from them. It's more of like, just go out and play. And again, that's what the game was to me growing up. I mean, it was Casey Powell and Ryan Powell, all those types of guys that were out there and like Placid playing. And I was just on the sidelines watching them. And there was not a lot of stress and there was a lot of great lacrosse. So the formula works. It's hard to get to it sometimes, but the having fun and not worrying and not stressing and not focusing on that part of the process and just kind of working all the other parts. No, and believing and having faith that it'll all kind of come together. That's where I think there just needs to be more education and more of a helpful shift to the mostly parents probably too. I mean, the kids I think do understand it. They know where they generally stand amongst their lineup. But sometimes it's just really hard for the parents to think. And again, new experiences, getting new people to Lake Placid is always something we're trying to do. It's hard because there's a lot of demand and we're kind of limited as far as using a full week. But the more you can change your experiences and kind of shift things around, like a lot of the youth teams that we deal with, they're from great programs like Jack's and just numerous others in New England and beyond. And I try to talk to the directors or the coaches of the individual teams and just say, hey, listen, like come to Lake Placid and have a 3-day relaxing tournament where your parents can reset and have fun. The kids can have fun. You're not going to be playing the entire time. You'll play a half day and then you can go to the lake in the afternoon and just to balance it out. And then from there, you can go to a competitive tournament where it's crazy and you got to be on point at all times. So I guess what I'm saying is I just think if people could find a balance, I think that would elevate the whole lot pretty quickly.
I think one of the things that I think sometimes get lost with some of the parents or players is that it's a family event, really. It reminds me of like the NCAA Final Four. Weekend. Lake Placid is an event that you, if you're involved in lacrosse, you have to get to, whether you're a parent, a player, an official. I ran into an official, Kevin, the other day, who's receiving Larry's award. Mike, I ran into Mike on the field the other day. It's such a small world. But my kids went to Lake Placid. I went to play in Lake Placid 10 summers in a row, and they came along with me, and now they've been playing in Lake Placid. Like, so now that Kevin's son is playing in Lake Placid, his father started the tournament. That's pretty cool that he's going to get to see his grandson playing on the same field that he started this tournament. But it's just a great family event. Dom Starzer still plays in the 60 and older.
Yeah. Cloud Splitter.
Yeah, Lars Tiffany played last year. I saw him up there, and we can go on and on. How many Division I coaches? Tillman was up there playing last summer as well. It's just everybody. It's like a retreat for lacrosse. So it's a wonderful, wonderful event. And your dad started it, and you're involved in it now. And hats off to your dad. It's always about the integrity of the game, and people come there to really have a good time, play some good lacrosse, and respect the game.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, no doubt. To have that vision way back of just getting his lacrosse friends to a great place to experience both things together was awesome. And just to stick with it, it kind of took on a life of its own for sure as the interest was there. But the fact that he got it done and kind of kept it going is just a testament to, again, I think how much fun that he has from the game and the people involved. So it's all kind of the same thread. And he'll be playing. We'll have a 70 plus game again this year. We did one last year as part of our Legends Night. So
you could play in that, Jack.
Yeah.
You ready for that? Is that your time?
I get another 10 years. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm playing in my oldest division this year. So I'm excited. I'll be able to actually run and
that's
not get
great,
destroyed.
That's great, though, Kevin. The 70, that's tremendous. I remember when I was playing, like, you guys had always had a division. Those guys wanted to play. So you kept adding the Open, then you had the Masters, the Grandmasters, the 50 and older, the 60 and older. Now you get the 70. It's incredible.
Yeah, I think it also shows like the some of those older age levels, like those people didn't have so much opportunity to play back in the day.
Yeah.
They still want to do it. They still are interested in it. I kind of sometimes get concerned about some of the future because, I mean, there's obviously more people playing, but at the same time, they're playing a lot. And you just wonder where the line will be drawn as far as like, hey, I'm exhausted with this. And I, unfortunately, I think it happens for some kids these days before they even get to college. Nature of how sports tend to go at this point, not just lacrosse, but yeah, it's really cool. We've got our Thursday is like our Legends Day. We've got that 70 plus game kicking it off. Then we have a nice Legends dinner. We've got five guys going in this year. As you mentioned, Jack, Mike and Ventino, a great referee. I think he's from Connecticut, so he's a New England guy.
Yes.
He'll be going in under Larry's kind of name, which is really special. Mike DeRossi, my uncle, who's a co-founder with my dad, is going in this year. Brian Silcott, Dave White, great player, and Bob Dix, who's from Utica, who's managed teams up there for years. So it's a great celebration of the people, and then which we always look forward to and is always special. And then this year, my father was really, he's a big musician. He loves playing mandolin and guitar. Same with my godfather, Uncle Mike DeRossi. So they're organizing a Summit Songs, a little jam fest after the Legends ceremony. So trying to pull it in with all endemic lacrosse player people that play instruments. So we should have a really cool lineup there, which we'll be announcing pretty soon and should make it even more fun and special. So that's a nice capper for us after 34 years to celebrate the people that have really made it special.
I think one question I always wanted to ask you that I just came to my mind. You're a hockey guy. You're a lacrosse guy. I thought you would play more box. You only played like one season. Did you not enjoy it? Like what did it not? Well, do you not like it or?
No, I liked it. I had a lot of fun. I, again, got to play with some great players. It was more of just like, I just felt at the time between working and playing in the summers, like I needed some free time to just kind of balance out things with my non-lacrosse friends and people. So in the wintertime, I had more flexibility to kind of bounce around. I was living in Chicago. A lot of my friends were back in New York and things like that. And just kind of, I think the feeling of just being pinned into another season just kind of felt like a lot of the time. If it was a different time and things were just like, there was more ways to kind of make that a fluid scenario, like kind of seems like it is now. may have been different, but definitely had a blast. Had a great team in Chicago. I actually started the season on St. Patrick's Day for the Shamrocks in Chicago, which was a cool way to start.
Yeah.
I scored on my first shot, which was basically from like the blue line. So everything was working. It made no sense.
Luck of the Irish that day.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, yeah. It was like a fadeaway jumper from the blue line as the shot clock was going down of it. Went right in over, I think it was O'Toole was the old goalie in Rochester, right over his shoulder, like I meant to do it. But no, it was a lot of fun. That's a great question because it does overlap well with certainly hockey and just obviously lacrosse. And again, it's had a lot of fun playing with a lot of great guys out there.
One of the great things about Kevin is he's very humble, very, very humble.
Oh, yeah.
One of the most humble human beings you'll ever meet. The accolades.
But excellent chirper on the field, I would say. Very good. Very good. Very, very not mean. Very, very like a little laugh. Like a
you can get, I think I kind of definitely when you're between the lines, so all things are off the table as far as I was concerned. I had to use some of that tactic to counterbalance some other things that were missing. But in the MLL back then, it was pretty intense. Not to say that it isn't now, but those early days with kind of, there was like literally no rules. I think the shot clock was like 45 seconds. It was pretty chaotic.
Yeah.
So it got a little crazy sometimes, but yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah. I just always, again, you shouldn't take yourself too seriously. Everyone's just trying to do the best they can. And if you're having fun, then it's all good.
Yeah. Kevin annihilated one of my best friends in Placid when we played against them in an open tournament. His helmet flew off and he's a big dude. Like he's like 6'2", 6'3", 225, like solid muscle. Didn't matter. Kevin was going full speed, wanted the ball. And he's just this defenseman trying to pick it up, like had his hands extended. Perfect hit. I mean, perfect hit right into his chest. Lifted him up. His helmet came off. His hands like went like this. It was like a slow-mo from a movie. And it was right next to the box. And I watched it happen. And I laughed a little. And then I heard you laugh a little. And my buddy got up just looking around like, what just happened? Who hit me? What happened? I'm like, dude, Kevin Lavelle just destroyed you. And I was like pointing at him. And it was awesome. We talk about it all the time. I don't know if you remember that, but you were playing for the Gorillas. It was awesome.
I don't think I was intending for that to all happen, but.
Oh, he was very loose. He didn't know you were coming. So that's why the hit was so awesome. It's one of those like things that just burned into my brain with like so many other memories of Lake Placid. I can't sell it enough. I don't get any kickbacks, neither does Jack. But, you know, we love going there. It is like a huge part of my lacrosse life to go to Lake Placid. I feel like a reconnect and a disconnect at the same time. It's very awesome for people that are bringing kids, or even if you're just going up with your significant other or whatever. There's amazing coffee shops, breweries, the shopping downtown, the Olympic Village, the museum, all that stuff it's such a great time. Even if it's raining out, there's something to do, which is one of my favorite things about Placid and about the tournament.
Yeah, no, appreciate that for sure. And Ben and Jerry come over from Vermont occasionally to watch. I mean, it's just a fun place to be. And like you said, you kind of get to disconnect and just kind of engage face to face for a week or half a week or so. And kind of forget about everything else for a while, which again is a beautiful thing about sports. You go on the field, you're not thinking about anything else other than what's going on in front of you there for a couple hours. And I think Placid is just a kind of a bigger scenario of that, which I think everyone appreciates and just kind of wants more of.
Want to give a shout out to your wife, Chelsea, who's one of the assistant coaches at Syracuse. She's outside running around with the boys.
Yep, director of ops over there. So she got to work with the coaching staff there. This is probably her like 10th year over there. So she was working with Gary for a long time and now Kayla and the great staff there. They had a great run. It's hard to sustain. It's hard to sustain high quality for 3 months in a row. They had a great season and came up a little bit short, but they're poised and looking forward to next year and working hard at kind of getting any pieces that they felt were not covered and kind of making another solid run. But yeah, thank God for Chelsea, especially this time of year when I start the Monday mornings off at around 5:30 with, hey, I'm in the wrong pool. Hey, we're not coming. Hey, all the crazy tournament stuff. starts popping up real hard and fast. But we work through it with everybody and just aim for smiling faces over the course of our events.
God bless you. And then one of the great moments I had with you, we were in a box watching in championships at Gillette Stadium and the semifinal game. Your brother Michael scored the winning goal in overtime. And that same year, they won the national championship at Gillette. So that was a lot of fun and a wonderful experience for you, obviously. And he was the Thornton winner that year, Mike Lavelle. And you know who he beat out that year?
Who?
You don't know?
I should know. I don't know off the top of my head.
Paul Rabil.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
That's a tough one. Yeah, I mean, I would say watching my brother play through that experience was one of the more challenging lacrosse times for me. Just, it was just so intense, but obviously worked out really well. And he did a great job of leading that team as a leader off the field, as well as on the field. And that goal against Virginia was pretty amazing. That was a great, great game back and forth. That team on the Virginia side was stacked as well. But yeah. Yeah. And then it's kind of amazing to see the Thornton Award just kind of hanging. It's in my parents' house in kind of their big living room area. And it's just always there. And it's amazing to think. And Paul and Mike had a bunch of heavyweight games against each other. Paul was amazing that season. I mean, I think he had 6 or 7 goals in the finals himself. He carried Hopkins. So yeah, it's, I'm not sure how Paul doesn't have a Thornton. That doesn't seem to make sense, but I guess at least in that year, I think Mikey edged him out by a slight hair. But yeah, thanks for calling that out, Jack. Mike was a huge part of my game. I mean, we spent countless hours in the backyard, tennis ball, every 5 goals, flip who's in net. And again, all that type of stuff kind of adds up and makes a big difference down the line.
Well, it wouldn't be a podcast to be if I didn't have a hot take on that. And I'm going to give you my hot take. If Paul Rabil didn't play at Hopkins, where they put the shackles on dudes playing offense during that entire decade run, which they did win 2 championships, can't get too upset about it, he would have had maybe not double the points, but in the right offense, I think he would have really exploded for more. I think that's kind of what they played, very regimented. That's what that team did. That's what Hopkins made those players like Kyle Harrison, like Paul Rabil. But at the same time, like, if you took the cuffs off, there would have been a lot. I think I wrote that at the time and got blasted, which is true to tradition. But yeah, that's definitely, yeah. Hey man, listen, you got to have opinions and you got to stand by them. You can't just walk through life, man. That's one of my favorite things.
But yeah, it was just a great, again, in my eyes, a great era of the game as far as the competition level and just kind of superstars beyond the normal superstars, where those guys could just take a game over and really dominate it in a different way, I think, than most cases. So yeah, pretty wild. They both did pretty well. They're okay.
They're both amazing players. Yes.
They came together in 2010 on the same team and won a world championship. So I think that was pretty cool to see as well.
Awesome. Well, I think that's going to do it for us. Kevin, can't wait to see you in how many weeks? 6 weeks?
Probably 6 weeks or so. Yeah, it's come. The calendar moves fast this time of year.
6 weeks. Just give me a roster. I know you don't do rosters, but I'm gonna ask again. I ask every year because, like, that's not the point of the tournament. Like, I get it. Like, I feel bad harassing your ops crew. They're like, who are you again? No, I'm not giving you this. I'm like, no. It's okay. Ask Kevin. That's my comeback to anything in plastic. If I need something, someone, there's not a hard time. It's actually, your staff is incredible. Especially
everyone.
You got Whitmer's place.
We're just like of the mindset, like, yeah, we're not doing that. No one needs that. Some people do need it, and we can provide that when they do. That's how it goes.
It's great. Can't wait to see you, man.
Kev, I know you're a busy man. Thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it. All the best to Mom and the boys.
Thanks so much. Yeah, this has been a good energy boost for me. Great to talk to you guys. Look forward to seeing you guys in 6 weeks or so. And good luck to Johnny and everybody down in San Diego. Kyle, congrats again.
Thanks.
And look face to face.
All right, Kev. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks. And thanks again for listening to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chase the Goal podcast. For Jack Piattelli, I'm Kyle Devitt. See you next time.